855-915-9636. Here's the telephone number, 855-915-9636. That's 855-915-WMFO if you prefer words. Coming up later tonight, Obamacare on life support after Aetna decides to pull out. This could be it. This could be the moment that the Republicans have been waiting for, where Obamacare turns into an Ouroboros and starts eating itself. We will explain to you why that's happening, and I will explain to the lovely Lisa Nichols what an Ouroboros is, right. Just in case.
Hey, I'm on this week.
Just in case she doesn't know. Yeah, well, Mike 3 actually wasn't up on the board, but yeah. I found it.
You didn't try to shut me out of the show this week.
I found, that's a big, big plus. Plus, we're going to have What's Hot, all the our favorite things from the past week, the strangest stories from the past week, all the news, and, you know, just lots of good stuff. So stick around. For the last, every week it's something new.
I think purposely it just happens for our show just to test every your week, patience.
I need
Derek's coming in to work the board.
For those who don't really know a lot about radio, or for those who have delusions of grandeur about how this show operates, who do know something about radio, normally the person in my position would be in front of a microphone with a producer in a control room telling him when to talk, what to say, which callers to pick up, all the rest of that. We don't have that here. I produce and I host. Lisa Nichols just has to talk, which is easy for
just
her.
Just sit here and look pretty for
her. But it's like, in addition to hosting the show, I also have to press all of the buttons that make the show happen. Yeah. And you would think after 10 years... I would be able to get my head around this, but here we are 10 years later.
And maybe it's all that Pokemon you've been playing.
No, you know what? They change the buttons around on me every so often just to keep me on my toes, and the systems change.
Yeah, again, just to test your patience.
Oh, everything goes nuts. Nothing works. And then there are the things that just straight up don't work when I walk in here that I have to fix on the fly.
You have this magnetic field around you that just shuts down every single button you start touching.
Lisa can't talk, so I have to vamp and figure out the problem just to get Lisa on the air. It's worth it every single week.
Yeah.
So, one more time.
When are the Olympics ending? Are we done almost?
The closing ceremonies.
What's that, Friday, Sunday?
Sunday night, I believe, will be the closing ceremonies.
Is the diving pool still green?
Another Olympic nightmare is over. No. They cleaned up the water in the diving pool.
Oh, it was the hydrogen peroxide. They figured
that
out.
No, it wasn't that. Apparently,
some of the chemicals they mixed up.
Apparently, they ran out of a chemical they needed to keep the water from turning green.
But the algae. Mm-hmm.
But they fixed that, and everything is great at the Olympics. Just great. It's great, really. Cameras are not falling into the crowd, and the stadiums are not half empty.
Nope.
We may talk more about the Olympics later tonight, because it's a topic we just can't get enough of.
Well, today in local news, if no one volunteers, someone has to do it. The Boston Police Department will notify 100 police officers today that have been selected to participate in the city's body camera pilot program, an effort to jumpstart an initiative stalled for months by union negotiations and lack of volunteers. Speaking during the monthly Ask the Commissioner segment on WGBH-FM Boston Public Radio on Tuesday, Boston Police Commissioner William B. Evans said that a consultant had been selected for officers of all ages, races from 5 sections of the city and the department's Youth Violence Strike Force to wear the cameras for a 6-month trial. Any officer selected who does not choose to wear the cameras would be subject to disciplinary action, Evans said. Captains were notified Tuesday night which of their officers were assigned. The State Department spokesman, Lieutenant Detective Michael McCarthy, said. Evans said training will start next week and the officers will be outfitted with the body cameras by September, but he is expecting pushback. Last month, Mayor Marty Walsh and Evans struck a deal with the city's largest police union to outfit officers with cameras on a voluntary basis. As part of the deal, participants would get a $500 stipend, but after no one volunteered, officials had decided to force officers to participate. Quote, our agreement said it's voluntary, but now it didn't rule out the fact that we didn't have any officers that would take action. This is what we're doing now. This is what we've been talking about for a long time. And we've been doing a lot of work and research on the background of this program by looking at other cities around America that have them. We are going to be taking the next step now. Of course, all they're concerned about is all this money that they've been spending for the past 2 years in trying to get this rolled out. I have to ask you, Derek, are you surprised that nobody volunteered?
Well, first of all, I have
not
to...
Not one single policeman, policewoman on Boston PD.
I have to correct you on one
volunteered.
Detail in that story. One detail. That is Boston Mayor Marty Cargo Shorts Walsh.
Yes.
As he will forthwith
have,
be known on this program.
That.
Boston Mayor Marty Cargo Shorts Walsh. Mm-hmm. Clearly, the police union decided they weren't going in on this thing. Mm-hmm. There's no question about that. I'm a little bit surprised by that because I would think that police officers would want the reassurance and transparency that comes along with body cameras.
Oh, of course.
Apparently, they have a different point of view about this. And the question in my mind is, why do you have this different point of view about the body cameras?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I saw some of the body cameras last night in a news segment talking about them. I could see them not wanting to wear them because they're these giant, bulky things.
They do add a different element of that, what you're used to in your everyday attire.
They clip onto the front of your uniform, mm-hmm. and you're basically walking around, if you own an Apple TV or a Roku, imagine having one of those strapped on your chest and then having to go chase some suspects around. It's not...
There is a
smaller version as well.
Yeah. Is that the discounted version? Because I believe a month ago or 2 months ago, we didn't even have the money to purchase these. So I'm wondering where those funds did come from. You know what, though? I do get the resistance. I guess it's based on this idea of fear and the fear of somebody watching over you. I mean... In any job, you should always act as if nobody or somebody's always watching you, even if nobody is. Of course, no one does that, you know, but that's been the way of life for many of these field workers. They can come and go as they please. They can stop at Dunkin' Donuts. They can take a little nap in the car, play on Tinder when, you know, nobody's looking.
Yeah.
Talk to, you know, the buddy at the local convenience store for a little bit.
Boston.
Am I saying that every cop is slacking off and doing said activities? No, but what you have is cashiers and convenience stores, bank tellers, my job, probably your job too. We are used to having that eye in the sky, that big brother kind of looking over you. And, you know, really when it comes down to it, we've had to adjust to it. I think it's time for these cops now having to adjust to it.
We've had two cases already in Boston where not body cameras, but mm-hmm. other video
has helped. Absolutely.
Made it clear that police were not taking unlawful action when they shot and killed a suspect.
Mm-hmm.
Two cases of that.
And having, you know, some sort of camera watching you, it's not so bad on this side in a life that we're so used to. Really, what the focus needs to be on is the outcome and the positive outcomes of what this can do. Because right now we're in a position where it's all about the negatives of it. Well, what are the positive outcomes of what can this help? Now you have one of the kind of civil rights advocates say we're really against was the fact that it was based on volunteers. And their argument was saying, well, nobody with a bad rap sheet is going to step forward and do this. So, of course, you know, civil rights advocates are really, you know, all happy and excited. But this is what I think each city needs. They need that reassurance, again, with their officers.
But the bigger story here is that no one stepped forward.
Of course.
And the fact that no one stepped forward...
Well, the question is, why?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because someone in the patrolman's union said, we're not going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And if you break ranks, good luck.
Absolutely.
Have fun. We're not coming to help you.
Mm-hmm.
That's how that happens among police officers. Mm-hmm. That's exactly how that happens.
You know the union environment, you know the Teamsters environment, anything. It's just like if a company goes on strike and you have that one guy that becomes a rat and starts working, you do not go against those people. You will be harassed, your family will be harassed. You have to stay as a group. Yeah. So if you have the young rookie that really wants to step it up and say, well, I can do this, I'll volunteer.
Yeah.
No way.
There's five older. Older cops standing there saying, "No, you will not volunteer." And let me tell you what happens if you do.
It's that mentality, and it's never going to change.
And they tried. They made multiple appeals. Cargo Shorts Walsh made multiple appeals to the police to have volunteers come forward. No one did. The union is opposed to this.
And how about we're in the position now where? Hey, surprise. They contact all of the captains. These are the people that are going to be wearing them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. The impression that I get.
And again, this is only a 6-month period. We're being a little dramatic here where it's so life changing. Nobody can volunteer. It's the worst thing that could ever happen. For 6 months, you need to wear this and see if we get any results. Are we going to see any results? Probably not.
But the impression that I get of the Boston police, spending time in Boston, knowing people who live in Boston, having lived in Boston myself, is that they generally do a good job. Mm-hmm. They are generally very professional about what they do. They generally have a good relationship in the neighborhoods in the city.
Well, for one main reason is because they're from the neighborhoods.
Yeah.
They know all the, people that they've been growing up on the street that haven't moved, either from Dorchester, South Boston. I know how difficult it is for one of my roommates who is going in the police academy, and there's been problems with the time period of when she's lived in Boston. And they are very strict about that.
Yeah.
And that's one good thing that Boston does do, is you have a better relationship, I believe, with the people in the city and law enforcement when they not, he's like my brother, like that kind of, but you grew up, you know the families, you know how everybody acts.
Yeah. Now, the Charles Stewart case obviously was a huge black eye for the Boston police when they just went into Dorchester and Roxbury and rounded up all the black men. Mm-hmm. And lessons were learned from that. And this is one of the more diverse and inclusive police forces in the United States. With all of that going for them, I don't see a reason why you wouldn't want the body cameras. But the union clearly came out and said, we're not going to do it. So no volunteers. So now, guess what? 100 guys don't have a choice. 100 people don't have a choice.
I wonder if they're still going to get that money.
Yeah.
They should get a little something.
Yeah, that's the other question. It was like, didn't Cargo Shorts Walsh offer them like $500 if they wore the body cameras for 6 months?
Yeah.
That's not.
The guys are like, no.
Yeah, well, the guys are like, I can make that much money.
On detail. For an hour.
Playing poker after hours.
Right.
At the bar.
Playing Keno at the gas station.
Yeah, exactly. In national news. More than 82,000 people have been ordered to evacuate parts of San Bernardino as the Blue Cut wildfire continues to rage. The fire began early Tuesday and scorched 30,000 acres in less than 24 hours. More than 700 firefighters are on the scene, but have been unable to control the fire, which forced the shutdown of a section of Interstate 15. So far, two firefighters have been hurt and no deaths have been reported, but cadaver-sniffing dogs have been brought into the area amid fears that some residents were unable to escape the flames, which covered 28 miles just 12 hours after the fire began. California's drought and strong, hot summer winds both contributed to the fire's rapid spread. So this is an unprecedented wildfire that they've got going out at Blue Cut. And this is fire season in California anyway. There are a couple of things that normally happen in California that create fire season. One is you get a lot of rain, typically in February, which they did again this year for the first time in years. Everything turns green. All the hillsides turn green. And then there's no rain for 10 months. So the hillsides turn brown, and you've got all of this grass that is just waiting to go up in flames. Compounding that, there are hundreds upon hundreds of thousands of trees that died as a result of the 5-year drought in California. So the conditions are perfect in terms of dry available brush. What you add into that is the Scirocco, which are the hot winds that blow over the mountains at this time of year at 30, 40 miles an hour, creating a perfect environment for fire to spread very rapidly.
And absolutely, just as you said, I mean, this is something that happens every single season. To this magnitude, we have not seen it this big. Now, the question I raise to you is, what really is their plan of action other than what normally is taken, where you have these rescue water tankers coming in and trying to deluge the area?
That's about it. This thing is moving so fast that you can't. Typically what they do with the brush fire is they'll find a natural barrier, something like the Interstate 15, where it's going to be more difficult for the fire to jump. And then they will clear out the brush in that area. They will build trenches so it can't spread on the ground. And that's how you contain the fire. You basically build a wall around it. This thing is moving so fast in so many different directions that they really don't have any place to start to contain it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would imagine they're probably looking, you know, 10 miles out, maybe 15 miles out, and trying to figure out where they can make a stand against this thing.
Because you just said we're at, what, about 23 miles?
Yeah.
Total that it's covering right now, moving rapidly and very quickly.
The fire is the size of San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
That's how big the fire is right now.
It's insane to imagine the magnitude of that.
And there is no shortage of brush in that state, just waiting to go up.
Now, have scientists like really thought to look at how quickly it is moving and what the scope of more land that it could be covering?
I don't think no one's ever seen a fire do this before. Mm-hmm. This is really unprecedented in the history of firefighting.
So essentially what's happening is you're taking it day to day and trying to figure it out from there and acting on the defense.
Yeah. That's really all they can do. The one possible saving grace in all of this is there is so much available brush to burn, and it's so dry that it tends to burn very quickly. So people who have homes in those areas may have the fire just go over and around the house and move on to the next area rather than stick in. There are a lot of buildings that have burned down, but with a fast-moving fire like this, you get a slightly better chance that your home will survive than if you get a slow one that's moving along a line.
Now, did you say how many homes right now have been destroyed or buildings? Or what are we looking at for cost estimate?
The estimate on homes destroyed right now, or buildings destroyed right now, is somewhere around 3,000. There were 32,000 homes in the affected area. And, you know, this fire is in
San... Where do these people go?
This is in San Bernardino.
Yeah.
Okay? We're 60 miles north of Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
If this thing starts moving south, there are a lot of people in the way down there.
We're not talking about an area that isn't incredibly populated.
Yeah.
This is a major city.
Yeah.
So I mean, imagine if something like that moved through this area.
Well, 82,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, I think, the population of Cambridge.
Where is everybody pretty much going? Is it going north, south?
I have no idea. Just get out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll figure out where to put them later. Obviously, they're using, you know, any space they have available out there as a place for people to hunker down. But this is going to be a massive displacement by the time this thing's done.
Absolutely. I mean, it's interesting to think about when you decide to move and choose a home. There are some areas in the country that people don't necessarily want to move to just because of weather conditions, whether it be, you know, in the Midwest, we're talking about tornadoes or going down to Miami for hurricanes. But it's something that's actually realistic when you think about moving to California. Maybe initially you don't think about wildfires, but it is something that arises every single year. And it, yes, I guess changing climates will...
This is part of the nature of the environment in California. It catches fire every fall. That's what California does, okay? If it's August, if it's September, there are parts of California on fire.
Pray that it's not a dry season.
As soon as the Sirocos start blowing, the fires begin. And after the fires, when the rains come the following winter, then you get landslides because there's no vegetation to hold the earth in place. Then if you're really lucky, you get an earthquake before fire season starts up again. I've lived in that part of the country.
Vicious circle of natural disasters.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, there are parts of California that you can live in and not have to worry about most of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're out in Topanga Canyon, you're probably safe from the forest fires and the mudslides, but the earthquake is still going to get you.
So pretty much the only time of, you know, salvation is winter.
As long as it's not rain. Well, no, you've got the months of December and January, pretty much.
That's it. That's mostly like me with my allergies. It's like, oh, in the fall, here comes, you know, grass, and then spring.
And you can still get the earthquakes then,
so
too.
So get the couple months.
So don't rule those out.
Not worrying about anything.
Yeah. So this is a bad one. And this is one that, you know, it was a toss-up between that and Louisiana for the national story, because Louisiana, 11 people dead, 60,000 people have been displaced by flooding. The interesting thing about that is 10 years ago, when I first started broadcasting on WMFO, it was in the days following Hurricane Katrina. And what's happening right now in terms of property damage and uninhabitable areas is worse than Katrina. But the response to it has certainly been better.
Mm-hmm.
Than it was after Hurricane Katrina.
It was funny. We did one of the kind of playback shows, and you played for everybody some clips from one of your first shows, which was during the Hurricane Katrina coverage.
Yeah. So 10 years later, some progress has been made, at least in the way that our government handles this. But mm-hmm. what happened down in Louisiana, again, it's a 1,000-year flood that they've got going on down there. And it's basically you have a lot of moisture socked in right against the coast. The temperature in the Gulf right now is about 90 degrees, which is much higher than it usually is. So these small storm systems come in, and they find a perfect environment to just spin up and start dumping rain.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been dumping...
Because, I mean, they were looking at 48 hours worth of rain, a couple feet they were talking about.
Yeah, they've been dumping 20 inches of rain a day.
It's unbelievable.
And
what are the biggest areas that are hit? For our listeners to kind of get in,
it's the usual areas. It's New Orleans. It's Metairie. It's around Lake Pontchartrain down there. Mm-hmm. All of those areas that got flooded. Basically, anything that's down near the Mississippi Delta is in the crosshairs of this flooding. So it's been an extreme year for the weather. It's not just the jihadists that have gone extreme in 2016. In world news, for the first time ever, Iran gave permission for its air bases to be used in the battle against ISIS. Russian bombers launched from Hamadan on Tuesday, bound for Syrian targets, then returned to Russia. The move angered the United States, with State Department spokesperson Mark Toner calling Iran's involvement unfortunate and suggesting that the flights may have violated a UN Security Council resolution that prohibits the supply, sale, and transfer of combat aircraft to Iran. In response, Russian Major General Igor Konashnikov, a spokesperson for the Ministry of Defense, suggested that U.S. officials, quote, check their logic and knowledge of fundamental documents of international law, end quote, noting that the planes were not used in Iran and that the United States regularly launches bombers from Incirlik Air Base in Turkey. There were additional Russian flights out of Iran today. There was additional grumbling by the United States today. This all happens just a couple of days after the U.S. and Russia said they were going to collaborate to try and solve the problem in Aleppo.
Right. I believe the exact quote from State Department, the deputy spokesperson, Mark Toner, today said, it's unfortunate but not surprising or expected. It's another thing that's coming out of the United States, whether communication, of pointing fingers at Russia and saying, look what they're doing. Well, no, we should be congratulating what they're doing because they're actually doing something,
yes,
which is far more than we are doing. Would you ever imagine, though, that Russia is working with Iran and Iraq to have their Russian Air Force shooting off their planes from air bases in those two countries? And it started yesterday with Iran, and of course today Iraq steps up.
Yeah.
But, you know, Moscow already has come out and boasted, of course, as they always do. And after announcing the day after they started shooting that they've taken out many Syrian militants. So whether it's working or not, they've been leading the charge for so long right now on whether it's against Syria, whether it is against ISIS attacks, and some of it is working.
This really is, on one level, sour grapes on the part of the Obama administration and the State Department, in that Russia is going out and doing something without first coming to the United States on their knees and begging our approval.
Mm-hmm. No, and we've talked so much, though, on this show at how, you know, America used to be in this position where we were always involved. Whether it was we were leading the charge on it or we were allies with somebody else that was doing these attacks or in some sort of global communication. Now we're not. Other countries are looking at us and saying, we don't need you.
Yeah.
You're not stepping up your game in the global sphere, so why should we even involve you?
Right. And the United States response...
But we're not doing anything.
The United States response to that is, well, you're breaking international law and you should have told us and we have a plan. And and it's like... You're 100% right.
John Kerry is a buffoon.
We are doing nothing. Mm-hmm. We are doing nothing valuable. And as I've explained many times before, Vladimir Putin has a big problem with Chechen rebels and ISIS sympathizers who would like nothing more than to start blowing things up in Moscow and blowing things up in small communities around Russia. Remember the Beslan school attack from a few years ago? Those were Muslim terrorists that did that from Chechnya. The Russian people are not going to put up with the growth of ISIS. How Russia ever convinced Iran to let them use their air bases, and basically what the Russians are doing, they're flying the planes from Russia to Iran, fueling them up, loading them up, getting their intelligence, and then heading off to bomb Syria, and then flying back to Russia. They're not leaving the planes there.
No,
they're
it's just a quick landing pad.
They're not inviting the Iranians over and saying, hey, take a look at the planes. Mm-hmm. They're not saying, hey, if you want us to blow up some Sunnis while we're here, we'll be happy to do that for you. They're just using the airbase. And the United States should be applauding international cooperation.
One would think, no?
Toward this goal. Instead, the United States seems to be And the Obama administration in particular seems to be hell-bent on turning Syria into a proxy war between the United States and the Russians.
There you go.
No one benefits from this, okay? This idea that Al-Assad has to go is a United States idea. We are the ones that said Bashar al-Assad has to go. The Russians are going to back Al-Assad. Part of the problem that we have is the Russians are blowing up people that we are supporting. Because
we've had U.S. coalition allies in these areas for so long.
Exactly.
But exactly like you just said it. If it's not going our way, we don't like it. We should be applauding somebody that is making some movements in that area. Because if there is one thing that we can all agree on, is that we need to get rid of ISIS.
Yes.
Because it is not just a United States problem. It's not just a European problem. Russia's having issues with it. But look at what the conditions are going on in the Middle East right now.
Exactly.
You now have a country that Iran has so long banned foreign militaries from even establishing any construction on their soil. We now have Russia, of all countries, landing there, using that, and sending off. What world are we living in?
Don't forget that.
That should be, like, just a round of applause.
Don't forget
Obama.
That airbase that the Russians built in Syria when we weren't looking.
No, but what it proves is Russia's expanding their footprint in this region, which they've been trying to do for so long because they're actually making movements on trying to get rid of ISIS.
Well, Russia is trying to project influence in a world where it feels hemmed in by China on one side, Germany on another side, and the United States in general. And Russia is trying to say, look, we're still relevant. But in the case of ISIS and the way that it has been mishandled by Europe and by the United States, Russia's basically stepping in and saying, look, if you guys aren't going to do anything, we're going to go in and do stuff. And we're not going to talk to you about it.
Which has always been their MO.
Yeah, because...
you know what? If nobody else is going to do it, we actually have... You know, the balls to go through.
Well, they're basically saying, we don't need your permission. So either get on board with what we're doing or stay out of our way. Those are your choices. Really, what should be happening is the United States and Russia and Iran and Iraq, you get all of those powers, and Turkey should be killing the jihadis as quickly as they possibly can. Kill all the jihadis. Stabilize Syria. Let the diplomats figure out what's going to happen to Bashar al-Assad after the war is over. But let's end the war and keep the current government of Syria.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Al-Assad is a real serious problem. He's using chemical weapons. Okay? You talk about how the people in those neighborhoods are setting off chemical weapons all by themselves. No, they're not. Anybody who knows what's going on over there knows those are coming out of barrel bombs and knows that the rebels do not have any aircraft.
No,
so they have no means of dropping a barrel bomb.
You have to really sit down and look strategically and say, well, what are the pros and cons? If we keep this government in, then maybe there's going to be a little more ways of working around it. Whereas if you get rid of that government, there's going to be more problems,
yeah.
Which is even going to prolong this war more.
Yeah.
I mean, the Middle East is a hot mess. What's happening to fix it? Well,
get rid of ISIS. The first time Al-Assad leaves the country to go to an international meeting, grab him, haul him off to The Hague, put him on trial for war crimes. Because there is enough evidence of chemical weapons being used against the Syrian people to put that guy away for life. But in the meantime, let's all get on the same page and let's get rid of ISIS. Step one.
And they're doing something about it.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. Once again, I have to side with the Russians.
Many times. Like when we applaud you, Putin.
Once again.
And your Russian military.
I have to side with the Russians over the United States.
Come on, Washington, wake up.
And listen, I am not pro-Russia. I am not pro-Putin. I am not hail comrade over here.
But you're a logical thinker in understanding what the situation is over there and what is the most logical way of dealing with this.
Yeah, they're trying to get something done, and the United States, instead of supporting that, is thwarting it. And Mr. Printer Cartridge or Mr. Toner or whatever his name is from the State Department really needs to sit down and shut up.
Yeah. Well, today in sports, we learned medal-winning swimmers are under fire in Rio. A Brazilian judge has ordered two U.S. swimmers not to leave the country, according to court documents obtained Wednesday. Ryan Lochte and Jimmy Fagan were ordered to stay in Rio 3 days after they said they were robbed. Judge Caleb Blank said there were inconsistencies in the testimony of the two swimmers, who said that they were robbed at gunpoint after a late night out. Lochte and the 12-time Olympic medalist had already left Brazil before the judge issued the order to seize the passports of the two swimmers, according to his father and his lawyer in the United States. It was not immediately clear if Mr. Fagan was still in Brazil. Blank wrote in her filing that there were discrepancies about the time when they left France House and arrived at the athlete's village. According to the document, she watched surveillance video of the swimmers arriving at the athlete's village, quote, they arrived in their psychological and physical integrity unperturbed. She wrote, also noting that the swimmers appeared to be joking with each other and not appearing to be upset. Lochte told reporters on Tuesday that he did not tell the USOC that he and three other swimmers were victims of a robbery early Sunday morning because, quote, they were afraid they were going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
Unquote.
I think they were afraid that they were going to get in trouble for showing up that late.
Yeah.
And it's looking...
Forget Zika. He's just happy that he has his passport and he is home sitting pretty, probably scrubbing out that stupid hair dye. You know, so something really isn't adding up here. Essentially what happened, and I got the news alert on Sunday, four Olympic swimmers, Lochte included, who else? Gunnar Bentz, Jack Congers, and Fagan.
Please call him Lochte.
Lochte. So they were saying that they were in a taxi coming home from this France House. I guess it's like a popular bar.
They were partying at France House until...
Yeah, and they were stopped
the early hours and Sunday
by individuals who said that they were cops. There was a lot of, again, discrepancies on the story of what was being reported in media. Initially, it came out and said that the taxi driver had stopped at a gas station. My first instinct was, if they were robbed and this guy stopped at a gas station, he's absolutely in on it.
Yeah.
It's something that they do with tourists. Now, finding out that they were pulled over by quote-unquote police and asked for their money, but they came back with their medals because, of course, they're partying it up. They have to show off the medals. They had their watches. I think the only thing that was taken was their money. They had their passports. Something's not adding up. I don't know. You know, I guess the idea of such, like, prominent athletes being robbed in this country that the entire media has been pointing the finger on and why we should even have these Olympics here, you know, it's underscoring this, like, long concern of Rio's a bad place.
It's a violent city.
you knew the minute this news was going to break, it would be all over the place. So again, it puts really bad light on these games, whether it happened or not.
WMFO Medford. It sounds a bit, and maybe this is just my cynicism.
Oh no, we're on the same page because I know exactly what you're going
to
say.
But it sounds a bit like someone may have told a corker to try and cover up the fact that they got home so late.
Yeah.
And I don't know who's responsible for that, but the Brazilian authorities are not having it. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody's going to go to jail over this.
Of course not.
And it's not a story, because the story made headlines all over the world. And it may be that whoever came up with this story wasn't expecting it to make headlines all over the world, mm-hmm. and was not expecting the Brazilians to be personally offended by the idea that police are robbing people.
That's the thing. It's, you know, just this testimony to police, it turned into this embarrassment and anger by Brazilians.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, you have these stupid Americans coming in and making up a story and putting bad light on your country. Not that they need any more.
No.
You know.
No, they already have Pooh Bay. They don't need Ryan Lochte accusing their police of corruption and armed robbery.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So, you know, I fell for it. It sounded like a completely credible story at the time, but now in light of what the Brazilian authorities have discovered, the video evidence doesn't show any signs of anyone being upset. They haven't been able to find the cab driver, mm-hmm. so they don't know.
You had the judge looking at the video, and of course, in their demeanor, and she put it in the nicest, colorful language possible, but you could say they were drunk. They were joking around, laughing. They come in the Athletes Village. They wake up in the morning. All right, we're going to get in trouble. What's, you know, PR 101? What are we going to say? Oh,
yeah.
We got robbed.
Yeah.
So simple. But we didn't take anything. They were good robbers. They didn't, you know. But then you're hearing stories about one had a gun up to my head. And I was like, whatever, man. This is what Lochte was saying.
Yeah. Well, Ryan Lochte has been interviewed several times on camera mm-hmm. about this, including by Bob Costas. So if this turns out to be a lie, this is a huge black eye. Ryan Lochte, you're done. That's over at that point, because you lied repeatedly in every single interview that you gave. And I don't think anybody's going to forgive that. Mm. You're not just tarnished.
Maybe he has Brian Williams syndrome.
You're not just,
where he just
yeah, but
misremembers everything.
But you're not just tarnished by that. You're done.
Yeah.
For the other three guys, everybody's going to pass the buck. Now, that's,
it's so sad, though, when your Olympic accomplishments are completely covered up by your lack of integrity as just a human being.
But now here's the other possibility, which is that the Brazilians are so embarrassed by this that they're trying to make it look like this didn't happen so that they can save face in front of the international community. There are two possibilities.
That's
here.
Our reverse cynicism coming through.
Given those two possibilities, mm-hmm. given what I've seen happen in my lifetime, the most likely explanation is that the U.S. swimmers may have played a little loose with the truth about where they were that night.
Mm-hmm.
That is the most likely scenario. That doesn't mean it is the only scenario. Innocent until proven guilty, but this really does not look good for Ryan Lochte and the U.S. swim team.
Hmm. He made it out pretty quick. Well, today in food news, we learned the dangers of eating raw seafood. The restaurant chain in Hawaii that serves sushi on a conveyor belt threw out food and scrubbed its counters Tuesday after state authorities identified its raw scallops as a probable source of hepatitis A outbreak. Genki Sushi was ordered to close its 10 restaurants in Oahu and one on Kauai, said Peter Oshoro, Hawaii State Department of Health Sanitation Branch Chief. The restaurants must dispose of their food supply and disposable items like cups, napkins, to disinfect the facilities before they reopen. The department said Monday that its import of frozen scallops served raw at the restaurants was a source of the biggest outbreak they have ever seen for hepatitis A, which has sickened 168 people.
Yikes.
So far. The disease has caused fever, loss of appetite, nausea, and other ailments. People have and can contract the virus by eating contaminated food, drinking contaminated water, close personal contact, or sex.
Yeah.
The state health department first announced a hepatitis A outbreak on July 1st, but it struggled to identify the source because of the disease's long incubation period. It was difficult for many of these people who were infected to remember everything that they ate and the people they had contact with. So the problem with this one, unlike something we saw with the E. coli, say here with Chipotle, big outbreak, and was maybe upwards of 70 people in the Boston area.
Hits you in 12 hours, the E. coli.
Problem with this is, like they said, they announced it July 1st. Well, it's an incubation process where maybe up to 2 to 3 weeks before you even know right. or showing any symptoms. How many people do you have in contact during that time period? Sex, another yeah. thing. So you contract this and then give it to so many people or have the possibility.
Hep A
again,
is...
Again, one of the biggest, 168 people from Ross Gallops.
Hepatitis A is pretty contagious. Mm-hmm. Pretty and contagious and not anything that you want to mess around with.
Now, this is one of those restaurants where I think you talked about it on the show. Maybe it was in one of your What's Hot, the restaurant in Natick where you sit in the middle of the mall
yeah.
and the conveyor belts go around.
Sushi Zara.
And
is what it's called. I love Sushi Zara. There's like
so
sushi
good.
Just rolling by you the whole time. And you just reach out and you grab sushi. And you're like, here's more sushi. I love this.
This is pretty much the same exact thing. It's one of the bigger chains in Hawaii with this sort of concept. And again, just like what happened here in the United States with Chipotle, it puts a really big, you know, dark circle on this company. And
yeah.
But it also makes you think about, and I think maybe because I'm in the industry where I have such high quality with my seafood, I'm questionable of where I get it from. And I don't think many people take that into consideration where they eat. It's a lot of times where is the most affordable.
Yeah.
But seafood, again, if we're talking about raw seafood, it's something that you need to take into consideration.
That and
when, you know, it is, you pay for what you get. So the quality that goes into something that maybe is a little more expensive, the likelihood of you getting sick or contaminated with hepatitis A is far less likely.
That and you go to the Sushi Zara place and there's like 50 other people there grabbing sushi off the conveyor belt.
Yeah.
You know, they're serving hundreds of people every day. Mm-hmm. Not that many people get sick. But clearly because not that many people are eating the scallops.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, no way I'm eating scallops. There's no way.
Well, you have
way.
To think about, and I've been to one of these restaurants before where you see, you know, no plates. And again, it's a little conveyor belt.
Yeah.
So you grab them and there's maybe the one that doesn't have any plates around it that you've been noticing going around the whole time that
yeah.
you're there. So maybe you're there an hour thinking about, yeah, if we're slicing up, not cool down because this is, you know, it's normal room temperature. I'm not eating that tuna.
No, that's it. Tuna's probably, it's got a cover on it. This is the bacteria's not getting it, but it's probably okay. But there are certain things that I just do not want in my sushi. Not eating the scallops. Sorry.
No, raw scallops are absolutely fine to eat.
I just, yeah, I know. But if I'm going and getting them at a raw bar, like if I'm walking into your place or if I'm walking
absolutely.
Into Turner's and I can look at the guy and ask him, where did these come from?
Mm-hmm.
And they know where they came from and they know how long they've been in the
they
store.
They know the fishermen, yeah.
It's like they know, yeah, they know who caught them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good with that. If I'm walking into a sushi place, it's like, oh, we have scallop. It's like, no, thank you. I will stick to my salmon. I will stick to my tuna. I will stick to my crab stick. Eel, hockey, whitefish, you know,
mm-hmm.
no scallops. I wouldn't eat clam sushi. I wouldn't eat oyster sushi.
Oyster sushi?
Yeah.
Raw oysters?
No, I'll do, again, on the half shell, not a problem.
What would oyster sushi be?
I have no idea, but I'm sure somebody.
That's not a thing.
I'm sure somebody somewhere is rolling up a maki roll, dropping an oyster in it, and being
no.
like, here you go. I don't know. I don't know, they're putting scallops in the stuff.
No, in many places, like thinly sliced scallop on top or inside, because if it's so thinly cut that it essentially melts in your mouth. When we're talking about frozen scallops that are wet packed compared
yeah.
to dry packed, that's not happening.
Yeah.
That is where all of the bacteria builds up.
But that's but that's the thing, is it's like
yeah.
I won't eat sushi at the supermarket. I certainly won't eat sushi at the gas station. You know, it's,
no,
it's
7-Eleven special isn't.
No. 7-Eleven, love your taquitos. I will eat those dogs, those hot dogs all day long. Your pizza's mediocre. Your donuts are mediocre. But the dogs and taquitos, all good. I'm all good with that. I'm all good with the Slurpee. Not eating the sushi in there.
That couple day old oil usually burns off everything.
Yeah, not eating that sushi. No. And technology news. Bad news if you use Facebook Messenger. Oh, my God. It is, you know. I have to produce the show, run all the buttons, do other things.
Special.
Bad news if you use Facebook Messenger and don't like advertising. Facebook has given a green light to advertising bots on its Messenger service, which will allow advertisers to send subscription messages, advertising, and promotions. If users send a request to an advertiser using Messenger, ads will appear alongside actual wanted conversations and trigger Messenger alerts. Facebook will review all applications to use advertising bots and promises that it wants to keep its Messenger service from filling up with spam. So this is a beta program right now. You have to apply to be a part of it. But basically what's going to happen is a lot of people are using Messenger. Messenger sends out those alerts that show up on the top of your phone. Mm-hmm. You can't ever figure out how to turn them off, or you turn them off and they find some other way to get them on your phone, because I keep getting the damn things all the time and I can't stand them. Now, advertising will
be
coming through that channel.
People just often dropping DMs in your inbox?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's like I've got a bunch of friends that communicate through Facebook.
Oh, absolutely. So many people I know, I mean, use that solely. Your wife being one of them who has my number but uses that as text. Sometimes it's just easier. The application's right there.
Yeah.
You don't have to open up your messages and scroll through people. But yeah, I know many people that solely use it. Also, a lot of people do it if they don't want to share something on somebody's individual page, but just kind of as a private thing, whether it be an event or, you know, a picture.
Now, the positive application of this is what Domino's has done, which is you can open up Facebook Messenger and text and type in pizza, and Domino's pops up, and you can order your pizza.
Really?
Yeah, and you're done.
On Facebook Messenger?
Yeah. Yeah, this is the thing. Domino's is paying for this.
Yeah. Huh.
But this is the sort of thing that we're going to see more of.
I feel like they need to do some R&D.
And you've got to be. My advice is be really, really careful about agreeing to any of these things, because, yeah, Facebook says they don't want it to be filled with spam. Believe me,
any way that they can make money.
As soon as you agree to get Messenger alerts from one of these advertisers, they are going to hammer you. It's what they do. It's what they know. It doesn't work, but it's what they know. I say this as somebody who is in that industry. We're already trying to figure out how to use this thing, but we're going to use it in a responsible way, unlike everybody else. We try and do it the right way.
Hot town, summer in the city. A pity, doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around, people looking half dead, walking on the sidewalk harder than a match.
If you step outside, Lisa Nichols, or anyone in the listening audience, you will feel the first hint of autumn dancing on the edges of the breeze.
Beautiful tonight.
We are in that northerly airflow right now with that cool, refreshing Canadian air coming down here. The first sign that autumn is upon us, but we do still have a few weeks of summer left to get through. Tonight, though, is going to be a winter. Low humidity, well, moderate humidity. Partly cloudy, temperatures in the middle 60s. Tomorrow, look for clouds in the morning, sun in the afternoon, moderate humidity, highs in the mid 80s, lows only in the lower 70s tomorrow night. Friday, bright sunshine, good beach day. High in the low 80s, lows in the mid 60s on Friday night. Saturday, mostly sunny, another good beach day. High in the mid 80s, low around 70 Saturday night. And then on Sunday, mostly sunny, high in the mid 80s, low in the mid 70s Sunday, and rising humidity. So that will set us up for some thunderstorms.
For somebody that likes summer so much, I'm actually really excited about 70s.
That'll set us
up for
thunderstorms.
You know how much I like fall. I love summer,
Monday.
But I do like the fall.
Yeah, it's going to be heading, this is that first sign that summer's coming to an end, that we got to get ready for back to school, the new NFL season, all that other good stuff. We've still got the heat and the humidity. We're not going to get out of that. But we do have a shot of getting some more rain on Monday. The good thing about the rain is it has taken a little bit of the fire danger down. The bad thing about the rain is we haven't gotten enough of it to replenish the water supplies around here. A lot of communities have issued water bans, water conservation orders, asking people not to water their lawns and their front yards and all the rest of that. Check with your town or city where you live and be sure to use water responsibly, because we are still in a pretty bad drought. 855-915-WMFO. It is The Big Picture. I'm Derek Gary. She's Lisa Nichols. On the Town with Mikey D is coming up at 9 o'clock tonight. When we come back, did you hear all of the other stories that made news in the past week right here on WMFO Medford?
Red light, stop. Green light, go. Every symbol has a meaning, even those symbols on the meat sold in your grocery store. I'm Sarah Beck, Consumer Meat Specialist, U.S. Department of Agriculture. The purple shield with the letters USDA and the word prime, choice, or good is your sign of quality. Quality that's been checked by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Prime means it's the top grade and usually the most expensive. Choice, the grade you'll see in most stores, is also very high in quality. If the meat has been graded for quality, you'll know that it has also passed a strict inspection for wholesomeness. You'll see the symbol for wholesomeness, a round purple inspection mark, on wholesale cuts of meat and packaged meat products. For more information on buying meat, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
I'm going to the hardware store.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
800 more flowers? The neighbors will think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright the bulb is. We can replace our 60-watt bulbs with energy-saving bulbs that give off about 800 lumens.
So, we'll save money.
Right.
Got it. 800 lumens and more savings.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov.
Welcome back to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. I'm Lisa Nichols with Derek Gary here with you every Wednesday night. And as always, the way that you be a part of the show is you give us a call at 855-915-WMFO. That's 855-915-9636. Ooh, I almost said the old number.
Stop giving out the old number on the air.
Yeah.
Don't be like me.
I know. I was doing so much better than you were. All right. Of course, it's time for Did You Hear, the segment of the show where Derek and I quiz each other on the past few days of news by giving each other one word, two words, or a sentence. And we're going to explain the story because we want to inform you about these fun things that we don't normally talk about. So I'm going to start.
It's also a good way to see which one of us is paying attention.
Yeah.
In any given
week. Derek is always paying much more attention. All right. K-cups, as in the Keurig cups.
K-cups. I will come right out and tell you I haven't heard anything about K-cups in the past few days. When did this one break?
This actually happened. This was today.
Yeah.
So it was just released. CVS has created K-cups. So cold medicine K-cups. They just started. The Keurig machine, they've grown from, you know, brewing traditional coffee to tea, soups. Now they have CVS cold medicine.
Ew.
What's so ew about that?
That's totally ew. I don't know.
I don't know.
No.
I'm kind of okay with it.
Isn't everything else that comes out of the machine going to taste like cold medicine now?
I think you can flush it. I don't know. I don't haven't read too much into the directions of how to do it. But they're available at CVS stores nationwide. It's 8-pack for $9.99. It includes 4 daytime and 4 nighttime formula K-cups.
Ew. Ew. That's why I haven't heard about this, because ew.
This was actually on a lot of top stories for business.
Ew.
Yeah.
No, I'm not doing that. The cold medicine, I got to draw the line at that. The soup is bad enough.
But think about it.
No, I don't want to think about it. It's gross.
When you're sick, there's nothing better than warm water. Put some lemon in it. Now we just combine the two.
No, what's good when you're sick is 3 shots of Jack Daniels and then you pass out for the rest of the day.
That's also true.
That's what's good when you're sick.
Unfortunately, our friend Jack does not burn all the ickies inside of you.
Yes, it does.
Where the K-cups do.
No, the Jack does a pretty good job, too.
So now I don't even have to leave the area around my Keurig because I can make my morning coffee, my tea, my cold medicine, and my soup.
You know what's in all those high-strength prescription cough medicines is alcohol. Mm. So just get yourself some Jack and have a little fun with your illness. Walmart.
Ooh. Walmart. Mm. There's always something with Walmart. Ooh. I don't know. Was this Monday?
No, this was today.
Walmart.
Yeah.
I hate that you're going to say it, and I'm going to know exactly what it is.
They should perhaps change their slogan to "Save money, die sooner." New data finds one violent crime a day at a Walmart somewhere in the United States included attempted kidnappings, stabbings, shootings, and murders. There have been...
Nope, didn't hear this one.
There have been 200 such incidents in the United States, according to new research. And that's on top of the hundreds of thousands of shoplifting cases that they have every year. It won in Tulsa, Oklahoma. No, Tulsa, New Mexico. They talked to the local police. And they said, quote, "The call log on the store stretches 126 pages, documenting more than 5,000 trips over the past 5 years. Last year, police were called to the store and 3 other Tulsa Walmarts just under 2,000 times. By comparison, they were called to the city's 4 Target stores about 300 times. Walmart executives have made cutting down on crime a priority and say their programs, including adding receipt checkers at exits and cameras at cosmetics and electronics counters, are working." Police are not agreeing with this. What Walmart did a few years ago is they got rid of all their employees. They cut way, 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 way back on their employees. Mm-hmm. So now everybody thinks you can just go into Walmart and steal stuff because there's no greeters there. There's no security there. And the police in some of these lower income communities are losing their minds because it's nonstop crime at Walmart. And because there is a lot of petty crime happening at Walmart, Walmart is now a good place to go and get shot.
No.
Yeah.
It's nice. You get cheap goods and shot.
Compared to Target, which has very, very few problems. Mm. Even in the same area. If you have a Target and a Walmart near each other, as that illustration, that quote I just read, they'd been to Walmart 2,000 times in 2015. Target... or they'd been to 3 Walmarts 2,000 times in 2015, 4 Targets in the same area, they'd been there 300 times. So do the math. That's about...
Something's going on
that's
there.
About 650 calls per Walmart, mm-hmm, and about 70 calls per Target.
Hmm. Yeah, I can understand what you're saying with the employees, and half the time you don't even know if some of the aisles are functioning,
yeah,
in Walmart. There's, you know, the ceiling, the lights are falling, babies are crying. It's a sad place to go into.
But they're going to put receipt checkers at the exits.
No, so that will work. Yeah, sure. All right. Gawker. Your friend.
Yes, is now part of the Univision family of fine media. Univision bid $135 million. To take ownership of Gawker. That, by the way, is $5 million less than Nick Denton owes to Hulk Hogan. Mm-hmm. So Nick will be paying Mr. Hogan probably for the rest of his professional life.
And the only thing that we wanted was for Nick Denton's career to be over. Yeah. We have successfully done that.
And Univision gets Gawker's roster of writing and editing children, which we'll see how long those people actually stay employed.
So that also includes Deadspin, Gizmodo, and, yeah, Lifehacker.
Univision says they're trying to broaden their reach with millennials. Univision is a Spanish language network. So I can only assume that all of the Gawker media will be switching over to the Spanish language in the near future, hopefully with more responsible people pulling the strings. Buena suerte, Univision. Buena suerte. Let's see if I can find an easy one for you. Roger Ailes. I think you would have caught this.
Ooh, Roger Ailes.
Roger Ailes.
With the Trump campaign.
Mm-hmm. I'll give you a half point for that.
His name was circling. Honestly, with anything that's going on with Trump right now, it's basically that there's imploding going on with his campaign. But... Ailes donated money. Oh, no. There's something with sexual harassment.
No, that's the Fox thing. That's why he's not at Fox anymore.
Money? I feel like it's money donation.
No.
He donated money.
No.
What is it?
I hear you have a point for the Trump campaign. Rumor has it that he has been advising Donald Trump and prepping Donald Trump for the debates that are coming up. The Trump campaign vigorously denies that Roger Ailes is any form of a...